Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears.
Hi, who are you?
Hi, I'm Evelyn Rogers. Who are you?
I'm your father, Scott Rogers. What the hell are we doing here?
Oh, it's a podcast about the magicians and magicians-related things.
Do we really have to do this?
Yes, we do, because it's the season finale.
Thank God. We're done forever?
No.
No more?
There's two more seasons.
Oh, my God.
This is season 3, episode 13, Will You Play With Me?
No, I won't, but somebody is here that will.
Yeah, it's our dog.
Besides our dog. Who is that laughing?
Oh, that was lovely. Hi, it's Mom.
Yay.
She's back.
Brenda Rogers.
Nice to meet you, Brenda.
Nice.
Thank you for coming.
Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy. Who are you?
I'm Brenda Lee Rogers.
Oh, the middle name.
You're supposed to say the mother.
Well, she already said that.
I already said that.
Oh, did you?
You weren't paying attention.
Very late, and I'm sleepy.
Uh-huh.
No excuses.
All right, well, what are we doing here?
We're here to talk about the season finale of season 3 of The Magicians.
What's it called?
I already said the title. You weren't paying attention, but I'll say it again. It's called Will You Play With Me?
No, I won't. Oh, wait. This is directed by Chris Fisher.
Good for him.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Way to finish out the season, Chris. So, where do we start?
Well, the episode starts with, once again, Quentin voiceover. And we get to see those fun animations.
Yeah, you know.
It's a very cool comic in the beginning.
They should have just done the whole season like
animated.
That.
Animated?
Yeah, animated, or at least having...
Is there a voiceover every single episode?
I think they should have.
They should have. Every episode should have been another chapter of the story rather than just doing the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Yes. Because the animation is very nice. The style is very cool. It has kind of a Sleeping Beauty vibe going on and a... what's that other one? Legend of the Kells? We already talked about this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whoever did the... You told us who the animation was.
Yeah, I know. They're on ArtStation.
All right, don't look it up on your phone.
I won't look it up
just
on my phone.
Go back to episode season...
2, I think
we'll put it
is.
On Twitter, and you can look at that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll put a link.
It's a reason to check the socials.
Maybe Evelyn will capture some screen grabs.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Some screen grabs. But we get to see an animation of the knight and how she finishes all of her quests and goes to save her father at the castle at the end of the world. And we get to see her. She puts the key. She feeds the keys into some mouths, and then she has the keys again, and she goes to unlock his prison, which, of course, you know, Josh points out as a logical fallacy. But it could be a paradox. Margo interrupts, and then Elliot's like,
wait, what about these keys? I thought the door ate them, and then they're there again.
And Elliot says what should probably be the motto for the entire Magicians series, this is sloppy plotting.
Yeah.
Which I wholeheartedly agree with. You're right, Elliot. This whole show is sloppy plotting.
But while they're talking about the sloppy plotting of the magicians...
Julia gets distracted.
Well, Alice talks about how the siphon that the library created for the Fountain of Magic needs a lot of juice beforehand. And so they gotta find a way to stop that from happening. And while they're talking about that, Julia gets distracted by a bunch of whispers and prayers. And the whole lighting of the room changes. And suddenly we see Iris... who is a goddess. She's a god of, like, messaging.
Is that Hermes?
Yes. She's basically,
she's
like, Hermes.
Her own version.
Yeah. And, you know, people have been referring to Julia as Our Lady of the Tree because she saved the trees in Fillory.
You know, it's too bad that she didn't restore a lake, because then she could be Our Lady of the Lake and she could be the butter goddess.
I think this is a reference back to the book when she's Our Lady of the Trees, though.
Yes,
in a very weird way.
It's a very loose,
far apart reference.
An actual half-assed reference to the books.
Yeah, but it's not like Julia becomes like an actual dryad or anything.
Or a tree.
Or gets to stay a god.
She doesn't even get wooden toes.
She doesn't even get to stay a god.
Fen is more of a wooden-toed goddess of the trees than Julia is. She's got
You're
one
so hard right
20th
now.
wood.
Uh-huh.
So is Quentin. Quentin is
he
more
is also
of
made of wood, though they always forget that.
Yes, that's true.
But Iris says that Julia fulfilled the task that OLU set for her, which was to grow the spark inside her and make it her own. So now Julia's concerns are greater than the quest. Even though she wants to help Quentin finish it, she's told she can't and that she has bigger concerns.
She is fully sparked up.
To me, I kept seeing the parallel when Iris was saying your duty to your friends is over, that it's like what was said to Penny.
Yeah.
Original Penny, when they were saying your duty to your friends is over, don't worry about that stuff, this is your life is starting now.
Interesting.
It was the same kind of idea of drop everything and this is what you're going to do
interesting how they frame it as a bad thing.
Well,
in this episode.
So really, it's the lesson to be learned here is that you should just ditch all your friends and start something over again.
No.
Right?
No.
Just bail on everybody.
No.
It's okay to just bail.
You can't pull a Gone Girl, Dad.
Sure, you can. You can pull a Gondor.
No. then we see Julia pulls Quentin aside. And she, you know, gives him the lowdown that now she's like a full-on goddess. And it's this wonderful scene. You know, Quentin asks her if he should bow now.
It's cute.
And, you know, she tells him, once again, you know, I wanted to finish this quest together. And, you know, Quentin was like, you know, I know that too, but this is more important. And you know, like, I worry about you and I want you to be good. And Julia's like, I worry about you because I worry about the people I love. And they just have this wonderful little moment together. And
it's
they
a good
both
moment
so
showing their friendship, that it's like this really deep friendship between the two of them.
It's such a good friendship. And also, Jason Ralph looks so nice.
Okay.
In this scene.
so did...
His hair looks very
his
lank.
His hair is tucked behind his ear.
Looks very
and
lank.
And his smile.
So then Julia gives him...
She gives him just a little bit of juice for one spell. So if a, you know, cartoon Indiana Jones boulder were to fall on him, he could stop it.
So here's the thing. I mean, that's okay. I get it. Julia's like, let me give you
here's
a little
some insurance.
Here's a little insurance just in case something bad happens, because it is the magicians and something bad is always going to happen. However, if Julia really wanted to help, she should have just cured his fucking depression.
That she said that's not a thing she could do.
Why not?
In previous episodes, she said...
No, the rules are you can't make people fall in love, you can't bring somebody back from the dead, and you can't turn a prince or street rat into
a
prince.
That's not Aladdin.
Oh, it's Aladdin.
She can't do that for him.
She can't cure depression?
No.
What if she just... charges up his dopamine centers forever.
You mean his serotonin?
His serotonin, yes. What if she just can perpetually hyper-stimulates his serotonin?
That's what a medication can help do.
Well, then he could not have to need meds.
Well, then he should just go on meds.
Just inflame his pituitary glands.
No,
come
he just
on.
Needs some Lexapro,
If a goddess can't inflame a pituitary gland, what good are they?
Well, clearly
they're good
she
for
left.
Trees.
She's trees.
The goddess of the tree, lady of the trees.
All right, then maybe increases.
Think of the book. She specializes in trees.
Increase his sap flow then.
He's already a sap.
He's already a sap. But then we see the two saps, Josh and Quentin, doing research. And Josh has been stuck on this one illustration from the quest book, which has a picture of the witch, and she's working at a desk, and she's got all these drafting tools and a picture of a castle, also within this castle that she's already working. And so Josh did some digging around and found out that those were drafting tools, and that probably the witch was actually the architect that Reynard talked about, who built the castle at the end of the world to house the monster. So then we see the gang, plus 20, Penny 23.
Wait a second.
Talking
How is this monster that's in the castle at the end of the world? There's so many monsters in this world, right?
Yeah.
So why is this monster any worse than any of the other horrible monsters we've encountered?
It's not like a supernatural monster. It's like a ethereal, godly monster. So it's more powerful.
Oh, you mean like Reynard?
Yes, it's a god.
Right.
But it's
then,
like a discarded
god. It's a
god
that eats gods.
It's like a titan.
It's a monster for gods.
It's a titan.
You mean it's like Pac-Man?
Where did you get that?
It's a monster that eats.
Okay.
Pac-Man is a monster. He's not really a man. Do you know any man that looks like Pac-Man? Anyway,
I wrote down here that Josh was giving big dad joke energy.
He was, because
he was doing the joke with the cell phone, like, beep, boop, bop. And it was just like, wow,
he's Josh like technology,
has
right?
got his dad bod ready, and he's just ready. He's there.
Ready to go. Yeah. Well, they're all talking about...
What's wrong with having a dad bod?
Nothing.
It's all one and the same. Dad jokes, dad bod.
They're all talking about how, you know, they're happy for Julia, but are they happy for Julia? You know, it would be better if she helped them out with the quest.
Yeah,
but,
probably.
You know,
do the quest first, and then answer people's prayers.
Yeah.
People are used to not having their prayers answered anyway, so it would be better to just get the thing done. Get it. How hard could it be? You just blip over to the Castle Black Spire, and then you just boop, pop in the keys, and you turn the knob, and then the fountain goes, and that's it. Bob's your uncle.
Well, there's still the monster.
You keep the door locked.
That's not how it works. But they start researching all the different kind of mythical architects or that are, like, maybe related to this kind of story, and they come across
Calypso.
You mean,
like, wait a second, like Starty Farty Blast?
No.
The famous architect from Hitchhikers?
Slarty Bartfast.
Slarty Bartfast?
Get it right if you're going to name
it. I thought his name, he had, like, his name.
Slarty Bartfast.
Wasn't his name, like, really profane originally?
No.
Yeah, it was, actually. I read that somewhere. That Douglas Adams' name was, like, Fucky Slump Butt or something like that. Like it was something like really profane.
Why?
This is a tangent you don't need.
No, I'm just saying that this is
tangent.
Like, look it up. It actually was like something really obnoxious.
But they research about.
So is that the monster? Flirty
no.
Smart Blast?
At some point,
the monster
he does not have a name.
Does not have a name.
Well, that's why he's so mad.
Maybe.
Because he doesn't... Why don't they just give him a name, like Fred or Bob or something?
His memory got taken from him.
See, there you go. Give him new memories. Take him on a vacation or something.
No.
Then take some photographs, and then he has some memories. And then that's it. Then he's happy, right? He has memories, and everybody's happy.
The dog is playing with our feet.
All right.
No, but they find... they pick Calypso out of everything, and they find out that, you know, she imprisoned Odysseus for 7 years or so.
Circe.
No, Calypso. I know, it's different.
It's Calypso's not in the... Odyssey?
Yeah, she is.
Not that, but Circe's the one that captured Odysseus for 7 years.
There's more than one.
Did he go 7 years with Circe and 7 years with Calypso?
I mean,
he like
he
slip
had a
around.
Lot of time,
so yeah, he had 20 whole years.
Weren't we talking about Prometheus?
Yeah, well, that's it. Is that so? They
Prometheus, Odysseus, Theseus, Perseus, a bunch of yeses.
Stop quoting Hercules. But they find her under the name Callie because she is the CEO of a tech company that's like...
They make video games.
And mentally imprisoning Josh in addiction.
No, it makes sense, right? Yes. I mean, video game creators are essentially gods. We create worlds.
Jesus
and
Christ,
Dad. And we manipulate mere mortals into doing what we
but
want.
But they go to Callie and she's like, oh yeah, I've been waiting for you guys. I promised Prometheus I would help you out. You know, he was my great love. He loved you, magicians or whatever.
And
I didn't really see
dead
anything
because
in him.
Of you, nasty humans.
Yeah. So apparently, she got commissioned to build this prison, and it was this beautiful creation. And she had to create a quest that was worthy of the monster being imprisoned in it. And so Prometheus helped her create this quest and find the people that would work as jailers, aka the father and
the
daughter.
The best humans he
could
find
from the story. But they also needed to create the keys for the quest, so Prometheus gave all of his power in creating those keys and then was discovered and tortured and killed.
By his enemies.
And basically
so
she creates
she's
the jailers
a little pissed
with the
at
quest.
Them before she even meets them. She holds, there's a big chip on her shoulder.
Yeah, but the dad offered himself up as bait for the daughter to go and, you know, be the jailer and...
Jail bait.
Yeah. But stop smiling.
Imagine this is you. You're the dad.
You're the
Everyone's
dad.
The knight.
Good job. You did it. You got imprisoned. Good job. But Aura We don't find out her name yet. I know you would
come
yet.
And rescue me.
Would I?
Yeah, you would, I think.
Would I?
Yeah, you would. You'd like to put on some armor.
That's true. I do know how to use a sword.
And you kind of know how to use a sword.
A little bit.
And he would come and rescue me. Maybe. Although I would probably fight my way out of the castle, much like Quentin in The Magicians.
Sword. No.
Yeah, with lightning, purple lightning shooting out of my finger. If I lived in a magic world, I might.
Maybe
The Magician's King.
No, the other one. Magicians.
That's the one you're thinking of.
The second one is Magician's King.
That's The Magician King, Dad.
Okay, it was so long ago.
Is this an ad for Lev Grossman?
This is
no, we're not at the. We're not at the Lev. We're not at. Ignore this fake ad. It's not ad time yet.
Read The Magicians. It's a good series.
Don't come onto my podcast and start violating formula. Yes, it's father. It's not Evelyn and Fillory.
What?
It's my show. I'm taking
not
over.
In this case, Evelyn is
whose
obviously
name is
Fillory.
First in the summaries.
Fillory's is.
No, my name is. All right. But Calypso tells them that the jailer can leave whenever she wishes. She just doesn't. And that, you know, you should have learned by now
whatever
sacrifice
do,
is part of everything.
Whatever you do, don't let out what's inside.
Yeah, don't that's let the, out what's inside.
That's the worst type of trap, isn't it?
Yeah.
The one that you can leave yourself.
Yeah, there's actually a really good fic that makes it that, like, the actual prison and monster inside of the prison is like a prison of your own making.
The
and it's
monster
this great
is inside kind all of us.
It was a really good fan fiction, and it was like a metaphor about how, like, there was one thing also hidden inside the castle alongside the monster, and it was hope. And that's how they get Quentin out, is they get him out with, like, hope for himself.
So are you saying that
it's
the castle
really
is Pandora's box?
I wish it was. That would have been smart because they keep referencing Greek mythology, but they don't do that. So it's not smart.
I gotta say that there was a great, Trevor had a great reaction face at the end of this because there was a commercial break. And right after they're talking about don't let out what's locked inside, he just had a great look on his face.
Yeah. But she reveals that the castle at the end of the world where the monster is kept is actually Castle Black Spire, which is underneath Fillory.
Didn't they already talk about this?
No.
You're thinking,
you're
about
thinking
the
of the books.
So this is them sprinkle a little
you're
bit.
You're like, you see that? We
book
referenced
stuff
it.
Into the
you see, we're not
TV
off.
Show.
We're not off base.
Not in any way actually connected. Mm-hmm. They just, well, we like this idea. We'll throw it over here.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's all fan fiction.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
But Calypso once again tells them, you know, this monster cannot be allowed to ever escape. It is imperative. And then we see Castle White Spire, not Black Spire, where we see Rafe and Tick and
so wait a
Abigail,
second.
And Fen is, acting High King
if
in Margo's place.
Castle White Spire is the
copy of Black Spire.
Why does Black Spire have one more tower that spins?
It does not. They both
it
have
does.
Four.
No,
because
they
White
had
Spire
five.
Is
Black,
a copy, and it's
Black,
not as good a copy as
Black
the
Spire
best
had
thing ever created,
five.
Which was Black Spire.
So five spinning things is
better than four.
You're the
I
one
guess.
Who just asked why.
I mean,
more.
Yes, because then you have four turrets and one center tower.
But in order, it didn't have a center tower. They were
well,
like,
then,
it
that's
was like
stupid.
Arranged in a a hexagon rather than a square.
That's dumb. You need visual symmetry.
Yes, I know, and that's what my point is that
take a design class, Calypso.
Yeah, no, exactly. So no, because they were saying Black Spire is the evil opposite.
It's not evil.
It's
just black.
It looks
it's
like
not.
Darth Vader's castle.
It's
how can
fun.
It?
It
is evil.
It does,
it's in the middle of a lava
just
field.
It absorbs light. That's because they flipped Fillory upside down. That's
Fillory's upside
why.
Down is lava?
I mean, if you were flipped upside down in space, would you turn into lava? Maybe.
You wouldn't be
like,
lava.
It's
lava
like,
be in the inside of the
like,
world.
It's like the Nether in Minecraft.
No, it's not. It's in the other side of Fillory is just the dark side of Fillory.
Yeah, and there's
so
Enderman
it would
there,
just be there
and
might
Ender
not
dragon.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So what there would be is there'd be no plant life. Sure. Because they're not near the sun, even though the sun eclipses once a day anyway.
It's not in this Fillory. There's two suns in this Fillory.
What the fuck?
It's a different Fillory, dude. It's the show Fillory. It has two suns.
What do you mean two suns? It's Tatooine?
It doesn't have... Dad, this Fillory is not the book Fillory. This Fillory has two suns.
When did they say there's two suns?
If you look at the sky.
Wait.
If you look at the sky.
What, when the Cheerio planet?
They literally just show you establishing shots and there's two suns. They don't have daily eclipses. That's not a thing that happens in this Fillory.
I wanted to see the daily eclipses.
It does suck. It would have been really cool. But we see Whitespire, where Fen is acting High King, and she keeps asking, like, permission to do stuff, even though she's the one in charge.
But she did also saying, very smartly ask for all of, like, the tax stuff, records. Yeah. And I was like, oh, she's gonna get into it.
Yeah, but we see the Fairy Queen. She's been kind of mentoring Fen, and she says, you know, you gotta stop apologizing, and I need to talk to you, you know.
That's just good life advice.
Six fairies have disappeared in 2 days, and we found this night vision apparatus, so someone is clearly hunting us still, even though we have citizenship and all that jazz, so you gotta fucking fix this.
Yeah.
So then we see Julia and Iris, and they're in Iris's workshop, and they have fun little outfits on.
Wait, the contrast
is bumped all the way up.
Wait a second.
Looks like
first
the
of all,
trilogy.
You missed it. You missed the important thing.
That she didn't give her wooden toe.
No.
Normal toes.
No,
that's later.
That they showed some sort of
Lady
other
Abigail.
Planet. And now I'm like, wait a second. I thought we were just in Fillory. Why are they now showing
Fillory? We're in a different place now.
Why does every dimension
Do you not understand
have...
what an establishing shot is?
Not when they
don't
say
teach?
What the fuck it
don't
is.
Teach storyboarding?
Well, by now, it's the last episode
Yeah, and if
of the
I
season.
Were storyboarding,
the last
I would...
Paid attention to where all these places
no,
are?
I don't have all these fucking Cheerio Planets
well,
memorized.
That's why they're showing an establishing shot.
No, wrong.
Star Wars, they're not going to tell you the name of it.
Well, they normally don't in Star Wars, except for in Rogue One. That's the only movie that they do tell you what the planets are called. But here's the thing. In the show, all the way up to this, 3 seasons. How many episodes are we in? 36 episodes in now? They have never once, they've only shown Fillory. They've never shown, they've never shown an establishing shot of Earth. They've only shown an establishing shot of Fillory from space.
And
that's
the Netherlands.
And the Netherlands.
Well, wait, the Netherlands is
that's
on another
Cheerios,
planet
that's
again?
That's what the Cheerios are, oh, you my... idiot.
I hate this show. All right, so here's the thing, though. There's no context for this. We've never been to this world
That's
before.
That's why she explains, this is my workshop.
Because it's her god lab.
It's her little god lab.
It is a new place.
It is a new place.
That's why you've not seen it before.
That's why there's an establishing shot.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's
because
a bad
establishing
shot. It's a
new.
Bad establishing shot.
Oh my god.
It's a bad establishing shot. If no, if Iris said, "Come on, we're going to my workshop,"
she doesn't say that.
And then they
show
a picture of the planet, and then we see them on. They explain every fucking thing else on this show. This show is a fucking lesson in over explaining. And it has a recap at the beginning of the show, and then they recap things in the show that they just recapped in the recap.
How come you don't get it then?
Because it's the one time they do something that's completely non-contextual.
They showed you that Iris is a god, and she says, "Come with me."
If she says, "Come with me to my workshop planet," and then you show a picture of the workshop planet, and then you say, "How do you like my workshop planet?" And then Julia says, "This is pretty
She's
nice."
Say, how do you
this
like
is
my
why
workshop
you can't with it? Write television.
I can write television.
I wrote down your god realm with parasols. I understood what it was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the coloration.
Well,
different.
The coloration I got.
That's another very cue. Different, which they'd already established.
And
the
they
first
had
time
weird
we saw
angles.
It's a shitty transition. I win.
No, you don't. Not everything.
Also,
a competition.
It's tea time. It's tea time as a
yeah,
god because apparently you're always doing.
Just
but if you're being a god and you're making a workshop, why do you have a constantly raining? That's idiotic.
It's for aesthetic, bro. And they're just wearing. They're just holding parasols.
No, it was constantly raining.
They're being fancy.
No, they weren't being fancy.
Perceived it as rain.
I perceived it as rain.
It was not rain.
Those were sun parasols.
Those were sun umbrellas.
But why did it look like it was raining?
Because it's called dust motes, dude.
It's not dust motes. How dust do you want to be? You want to work on your workshop stuff where there's dust everywhere?
Maybe it's like extra magic falling down. Because there's so
anyway, Iris says, "Let your connections fade. Stop caring about all of your friends and let's get on with the work."
Yeah, that's going to go great.
Let's build some worlds. We're doing big picture stuff. We don't care about those.
So she's doing starty farty blast stuff again.
And she says, you know, you gotta, like, answer a prayer or two, like, once or twice, but mostly we just focus on, like, the big stuff, build a world, build more than one.
Why do they need to build more worlds?
Because they're gods. They make worlds. They create civilizations.
No,
because
they don't. They just
religions.
Make one thing and get people to worship them.
In this, she's a brand new god.
Who is?
Julia.
But she's the goddess of trees, and those trees are in fillery.
That's just what people have been calling her.
That's trees are in fillery.
To create her own world she instead made of trees. Fillery, because she's not from fillery.
She's not from
so
fillery.
She's teaching her how to make a world so she can make her own world and be the god of that world. That's what she's suggesting.
All right, what kind of world?
And that's why
she
says, you know, that's why you got to give up on the fairies, because you can just create a world where fairies aren't even persecuted.
Create your own damn fairies. That's what I say.
That's what she's literally saying. What
Iris
saying.
Is saying.
So then, oh my God. So we see Margot, Elliot, Penny 23, and Quentin in the cottage all conferring, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to get into Castle Blackspire now that they know that it is underneath Fillory. And then
Q gets an
they,
idea.
Well, they presume that Aura is that the guard is still alive and, you know, protecting and keeping the monster inside. So they're like, well, you know, how are we going to get in if she's in there? You know, how are we going to do that? And so Quentin has an idea, like you said, and he basically
wastes his magic.
Well, what was funky was he was basically pulling a Penny.
He was, in fact,
he was completely
he was
pulling
incepting.
A Penny. It was what Penny had done to him, showing up in dreams.
He incepted.
They just did the same thing.
He incepted
thing.
The guard. Her name is Aura, which I've said before. And she's the very last one there. The monster killed every other guard that was in the castle.
I thought there was only one guard.
No,
it was just her.
He killed every other guard that's in the castle and possessed the one that was, like, one of the bodies that was still there. That's what the body is when we see it. When we see Charlton, that's one of the guards.
How do you know its name?
Because he's in season 4.
Next season, which you've seen.
Which you've seen.
He got
I know, it's
shot.
Such a meet cute, right, guys? Anyway. Q you know, talks to her and she's like she says, I can't risk the security of my charge, you know, I don't want to let him out. But she knows a back way in, and so he says, hey, let's make a fair deal. So he comes back to everyone, he says, okay, so here's the plan. I talked to Aura, and they're like, you wasted your magic that you didn't tell us about? And he was like, yeah, but I had to talk to her. And basically, she is going to let them in through a back door into Blackspire, and they're going to get in, get out. She's going to distract the monster, and they're going to turn magic back on. And they're like, well, what about you? And Q says, well, I stay. I made a fair deal. I'm going to take her place.
Hale Appelman is doing a whole hell of a lot of acting in the background of this.
Listen, Quentin and Elliot are so divorced in this episode. It's amazing. I love it so much. There's so much fucking drama, like, in subtext behind them. Like, in the way they interact with each other.
Body language.
It's so good. Oh, it's so tasty. I love it so much. He's so pissed by it, but he's also, you know, he's got all these complicated feelings. It's so good. But Quentin says, you know, I'm strong enough because of the quest. You know, I can sacrifice myself. And
sacrifice again.
It's a good plan.
And what does Margo say?
Well, Alice and Elliot both object. And they're like, that's a terrible fucking plan. We don't want you to, you know, stay inside. And he's like, well, Alice, you died for us. And Elliot, you stayed in Fillory for the rest of your life, you know, like, why is this any different?
Right.
Which, you know,
good
he's
point,
like,
Q.
Gotcha. Margo and Elliot, they completely disagree. Margo says, you know, why don't we just use the god-killing gun and kill the god?
And Elliot immediately seconds it.
Yes.
I second that.
Yes. But Quinta says, you know what? We have to do it the hard way. And it sucks, but it's what we gotta do, which sucks.
Don't they still have the god-killing knife?
There's no... They don't have the Leo blade.
Why not? Where's that?
It was the only other time we've seen it this season was in Timeline 23, and Quentin 23 killed himself with it.
Right. So why don't they go to Timeline 36
because
or
the
something?
Leo blade, magic. It was like they tried to use it. Julia stole it. Blah blah blah. That
grind up a fairy or something and use
no,
that.
No, that's not ethical.
How about a unicorn?
No, that's not ethical.
How about a vampire?
No, that's not ethical. That's
grinding up vampires is perfectly fine.
It wouldn't make a knife.
Wouldn't make a knife.
No, I'm saying
mean,
you grind them
is,
up, use the magic, travel
YouTube
to
guy.
The other dimension.
There's this YouTube guy that makes knives out of anything. He made a knife out of chocolate. It was fucking amazing.
Like
what
a knife
could
that
cut?
What
you do with a knife out of chocolate?
He cut stuff with it. He made a knife and he cut... I'll show you a video. It's amazing. It's just 14 minutes, no voiceover, just the sound of him doing chemistry and making knives, and it's great.
Okay.
And what, does he cut like a can?
He makes knives out of cardboard.
Does he make cut
cannot
the
cut
that's
the
our
can with
that's
a
our
chocolate.
Chocolate? You don't know. This is our ad.
No, does he? What does he cut?
Knives. He just makes a bunch of cool knives, and he has this fun little pouring thing, and it's a little cow.
Right, but what does he cut with the chocolate knife?
I don't remember. I watched it like a tomato. 2 days ago. He does paper. He does cut food, and then it's like super brittle and hard, and then he boils it, and it's floppy, and you can eat it. It's amazing.
But I mean,
anyway, that's our ad.
In the Ginsu knife commercial. They cut through a can.
That's our ad. So that's then we see Fen, and she's in disguise.
She's in disguise, just like Evelyn could be.
Yes, I was in disguise.
A knight.
Surprise.
Surprise.
I was in disguise.
I thought that that's Fen.
That was Fen.
Oh, do you Fen have eyes?
Fen is Fen.
That's
is,
when I was falling asleep.
Oh my god.
Being a queen.
Yeah, so like she queens can be. Sneaks through the forest and basically acts as bait, and Irene and the traveler who I always forget the name
Eric?
Of. Simon?
Simon, maybe.
His name...
Shithead.
Yeah. he's a traveler, and they try to capture her, and she's like, gotcha, bitch. I'm the acting high king.
He's like, ah, she's human.
You know, what are you doing here? You know, fairies have citizenship in Fillory, and they're like, oh, boo-hoo, whatever. But she summons a bunch of guards, and she's like, I have something that can help you. Let's make a deal. So they go back to Whitespire.
They should
have
just put a spear through their throats.
Nah.
You know, this is the problem with these characters in this show. Is that
if they're
not
more violent,
they're not quick enough to just kill somebody.
There's not enough death on the show.
If
there's
they,
not,
if
not
they,
enough dead bodies.
If they,
don't worry, Dad. Next season there'll be plenty of
if
death.
If they should have just killed those characters when they had the chance, right?
So then,
really,
Fen is
I mean, really,
Fen talks to the Fairy Queen and says that she's been
I captured them
trading bunnies with Margot, and that apparently. The library is, you know,
evil.
They need a lot of energy for this siphon, but they're very but the gang is very close to getting magic back.
Why does the library need so much magic?
Because they're gonna siphon
in this realm.
The magic
they're just
off.
The bad guys.
They're just the bad guys.
But I mean, like they just have
they're
books.
A fascist organization, they're, bro.
That's what it is.
And
just like real life,
the fairy queen's like, I don't see how this pertains to anything. You know, I just want my fairies to be good
and
safe. And so. She says, you know,
I
have a plan.
She says, I know what I'm going
to
do.
I know what I'm going to do. She goes up to Irene and she says, how would you like to have the magic of 50 fairies in one body? And she offers herself up as a sacrifice in order to make a deal that no fairy will ever be hunted by a non-fairy ever. And this can't be broken by anybody ever. I sure love how the magicians keeps continuity and always keeps their plots. When they say that nothing will ever be broken ever. It continues to stay unbroken. I love that about the magicians.
Just like the candy witch.
I love that about the magicians. Anyway, she sacrifices herself and she has one last...
It is a pretty good way to go out, though.
It is
it's
a
very
good way
dignified.
To go out.
Not really.
And,
she gets, she gets
and,
knifed to death and,
then
ground up into
and
powder.
And to the standards of disclosure, no, this actor. Was good trans representation. And you know what? It does suck that she dies in the end. It does suck,
so they
but
kill
you know
another
it is,
trans character.
It is true, but it's not because she's trans this time. But she has one last conversation with Fen, and Fen's like, "Oh, there must be another way. You know, I don't
Fen
want you to
actually
die."
Tears up.
She tears up, and you know, the Fairy Queen's like, "Tears for your enemy? Oh, you know, that's so sweet. But I have to do this." She gives her a little kiss on the cheek. And
that was a prime
leaves.
Moment when she could have healed
prime
Fen's
moment.
Wooden toes.
Yep. Yeah, but you know.
Like when she kissed her, like magically,
my toes
back.
Are back. But no toes for Fen. And you know what? This is this good character arc. Like Fen has gone from like a fairy bigot to like someone who likes fairies,
and
maybe.
Crying for her.
And is actually caring for them.
And meanwhile,
and
the fairy
put
queen
her own
is...
life at risk to go undercover and
yeah.
capture
yes.
people who are hunting fairies.
And meanwhile, the story arc of the fairy queen is she's gone from an unlikable pain in the ass to an unlikable pain in the ass.
Fuck you. She's great. Candace Cain is amazing.
Candace
she's so
Cain
hot.
Is a wonderful
she's
actress
so hot.
And I'm sure a very lovely person.
She's so hot.
The fairy queen. I'm not sad to see her go.
No, I am
she's
sad. Just,
she's at her most interesting.
She's
there.
Dignified.
She's giving her life for all her people.
Yeah.
But it's like first she did it to save all the ones who were enslaved.
Yeah.
She allowed herself to be
and well, the very first
captured.
Motive was to save all of the children of her realm as well.
Yeah.
So she's been doing it for her people the whole time, even when she was reluctant to
and
help
and that's what
those
she was trying to get Margot to do to be a better leader, and that's
yeah.
what she was trying to get Fen to do to be a better leader.
Still don't like her.
Yeah, well,
no, you don't have to.
You don't have to like her. But then we see Dean Fogg and Alice,
and, who I'm also not liking.
And Dean Fogg's like, "Wow, it's wow, the castle's
the
in,
Dean is spiraling downwards now.
Castle Blackspire." I read the Fillory books once. I was a fan. Crazy how that works out. Everyone seems to have read the Fillory books.
Well, I mean, think about how many people have read Narnia
books.
Well,
of course, they've read them, and that's also part of why they were attracted to them, and then they were attracted to magic, and that's how they end up at Breakbills.
Yeah, but Alice says, you know, I need a favor. I have this fairy cocaine, and I know I shouldn't use it, but I've got it, and I personally don't want to be involved in anything anymore. I know that you have an experimental potion that wipes memory and creates a new persona. I want to use that because I will always be tempted by magic if
like
I'm always
with Alice. With
it is very frustrating, but it's a very complicated arc, and I love that. I think I appreciate that.
It's complicated, and I guess it's gray. There's no black or white there, but it's also it feels much more of a turn and a different direction from her as a character.
You know, I personally believe that Alice's arc kind of came to a completion halfway through season 4.
They didn't.
And then they didn't know what to do with her after
season
that.
Season 4.
No. Her arc came to a completion halfway through season 4, and then they didn't know what to do with it afterwards, and then they were like, let's just make it bad again. And it sucks. But,
I mean, season 3, that's the one we're talking about.
I know, but in season 4, that's kind of where I feel...
This is a spoiler-full podcast.
This is a spoiler-full podcast. We watched season 4, Dad.
Dad doesn't remember.
In
you know
season
what I,
4, Alice finally sees magic doing some good. She talks to Sheila. She teaches Sheila magic. She watches those kids play in the water, and she smiles about, you know, magic has done something good for once in her life, and that is like... I feel for me, that is like full circle for her. She goes from hating magic, hating, you know, herself and what is done to her life, and then coming to this realization that magic can be good. And it's this wonderful kind of arc, and then they throw it away. But that's where I believe that, like, that kind of ends.
I think
and that kind of arc.
One of the ways she wants to throw everything away is by asking, saying to the dean, well, I hear you've got this spell where you can make people forget.
Yeah.
And I want you to make me forget.
She's basically committing, like, persona suicide.
You know
she doesn't want to be herself anymore, but, you know. And,
you know what,
it,
I,
it
think,
sucks
you know what
a lot.
I think about it?
And but she says, you know, I'll always be tempted, but if I don't have memory, then I won't be, because I want to live my life. I don't want to live my life as according to anyone and, like, what anyone's told me. I don't want to do it through the library, through school, through you, through anyone else. I just... I'm following this path and I want to step off, which could be seen as a callback to the very first episode of The Magicians where Quentin is told to step off the garden path. I know it's not, but it would have been cool if it was.
I think personally, this Alice plot is a metaphor for the writers of this show.
Uh-huh.
They just want to forget the Fillory books. They want to forge a new life, forge a new path, and the past be damned. And all the continuity be damned. They just make up whatever the hell they want now. They're off the rails.
They've always done that.
But I'm saying now, this is particularly a hard break.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry, Dad.
I'm not worried. I just have... I'm thinking about how I'm going to have to suffer through all the 2 more seasons of
this.
This
is already so far
removed
from the books.
We'll get there.
This is all fan fiction. They took the germ of the idea from the books... And then just created their own version
Let's
of it.
Let's just put it this way.
But Dean Fogg gives
Let's just put it this way.
What?
The next time a certain author gets his work optioned, he should put a clause in it that says...
I have to adapt it myself.
I have to have a little more creative control.
Yeah, he can write screenplays. He could adapt it himself.
I have to have a little more creative control over what happens over
Make
the course.
Make me a producer, not an executive
exactly.
producer.
Exactly. Exactly. Be more involved.
The thing about the dean giving Alice the forget me. It's
forget
not forget,
me,
forget
not.
Me not.
It's just forget me. The forget me potion. It comes in a little blue bottle.
Little blue bottle. Yeah,
wait,
but he says after you drink it, you know,
it'll pop up again.
You know, you'll be on your own. And then we see Dean Fogg, and he comes to Zelda, and he says, we need to talk about our arrangement.
And that's the break.
And then we cut to the Muntjac. Everyone's eating tacos.
Tacos!
Taco Tuesday, once again.
There was no talking. They were
just
eating
tacos.
Just eating tacos
and watching.
That was pretty fun.
It's pretty great. We see Q with Alice there in the back, and Alice says, you know, you're the only person I wanted to tell about this, because you're the only one that I love. You know, it may not seem like it,
And here's
but she loves him in her own way.
The second woman in his life that he's best friends with.
Yeah.
Who he cares about saying goodbye to him.
Yes.
Right. It's, which is why I think they would all be happier if they just did a dimension swap. Have wooden leg Alice with R. Quentin. Have depressed.
She's dead.
Yeah, but they blew it. They should have, at that point, they should have said, you know what? There's other dimensions. There's other versions.
Known and loved into this other dimension.
No, but they grow to. All right, so let's say this.
You just want to pull a Penny 23
No.
Romance an alternate dimension version of yourself. And
I love you.
Oh my god!
And if something horrible ever happened to you and you died, shut up. I'm not done with my weird fantasy. All right. If you died and then I somehow found out that you could go to another dimension. And find another version. Stop. My fantasy.
Did you not watch Into the Spider-Verse at all?
Yes, I did watch. And I've read. I have read 40 years of Spider-Man comic books. Okay.
I'm one of a kind.
But I'm sure there's another version of you out there that's in love with me.
No.
And maybe I died of cancer.
No.
And so that's the one I find.
No.
And you're like so happy to see me alive.
No.
And I'm so happy to see you alive that we
up.
Live happily ever after.
Because you would not have shared the same experiences.
Well, a fair amount of them.
No, not enough. No.
Maybe till...
No. No,
sure.
Stop this weird fantasy.
No, it's weird. You're like Penny 23, and that's bad.
Why?
Don't be like Penny
you
23.
You love Penny 23.
No.
You sure do.
No, I don't.
You do. That's why you're so... You know, like how in a romance movie where
Here's
woman says, you're the most contemptible man I've ever met.
That's
and then they fall madly in love.
That's called harassment.
It's called harassment.
No, it's called When Harry Met Sally, the best relationship movie ever
Shut
made.
Shut up. Didn't the director say they would get divorced after
Alice
1 year of being married?
Tells Q she will forget him and she loves him, and Q says he'll remember for both of them.
I know it's so.
He should have just shot her with the god gun.
No, what the fuck?
Put her out of her.
Put
her out of her misery.
No,
he doesn't have the god gun. Elliot has it.
Oh, then
Elliot has it in its secret.
He's got
it
snuck away.
No.
Did you jam it in there?
This whole time is they're on the Mudjack and they're sailing to the
push
other
her off
side
the,
of
the Mudjack into the lava.
No.
Into the Mustafar planet.
No.
And you're right, Black Spire is in darkness and lava.
It's Darth Vader's castle.
No,
it's it's just not day there, it's night. It's
opposite.
But anyway, it's not, it's fucking lava. It looks like hell.
Anyway.
It's not the opposite. It's not let's stop this for a second. Just because black and the opposite of white doesn't mean the opposite of a forest is a hellscape.
Quentin and Alice love each other, and they're besties also, and a platonic qualis for life. Thank you
and
very
then,
much.
And then, wait for
the
it,
fairy
there's,
queen.
There's the whole
we
music
the
moment.
No, we see the fairy queen first, and she ritually takes off her rings. And, you know, she gets strapped to a table. Irene's over her with a knife. And she's like, you know, you're gonna regret this because it's gonna come back to haunt you, whatever. And
that's very Narnia right there.
And Irene's like, you know what? You'll never know if it worked out or not. And she's like, you're right, but I'm going to die a queen, bitch. And then she stabs her. And in in the behind the scenes, they actually did a shot of her stabbing her with blood coming up, but it always malfunctioned. So they didn't use it.
You know what?
It's better
what's
the way they did it.
What's
yeah.
the evil girl's name?
I was just thinking that it reminds me of Aslan being on the stone table.
Oh, absolutely.
Being tied down. And
but there are
the
no
bad
mice
person
to
going,
chew her
I'm
out.
Gonna, you know, I'm gonna kill you, and the very calmness going, that's okay. I'm still.
What's the name of the evil cocaine snorting bitch?
Irene.
Yeah. So when like the fairy queen says, you know, you're gonna regret this, Irene should have said, you're gonna be up my nose.
What the fuck?
Okay.
This is why you should not write for TV. I am so interested in what your fan fiction's going to look like.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad? How dare you?
We're going to do a dramatic reading, and it's going to be great because of that. But then we see one of my favorite scenes in the fucking episode. We hear Jaguar playing, and we see this beautiful beginning, the scene. It's just, they don't talk. We see Muntjac flying underneath Fillory. We see Blackspire. There's lightning and thunder and lava. It's amazing. Then we see them sneak into Blackspire. Elliot shows the keys. The door opens. Aura lets them in very sneakily. It's so fucking spooky and cool. It's just the same set, but painted black, but it's great. The lighting is all red. And then they see the fountain and they pull the little tarp off the fountain because apparently there was a tarp on the fountain.
Yeah,
that's a little weird. Alice slips away.
And hides.
And then Quentin...
Alice looks sneaky.
Quentin gets pulled away and Elliot has a little eye look with Margot, and he kind of follows after them too. Quentin goes with Aura and he says, okay, so like, what's the deal with the
Elliot
monster?
Elliot is stalking Quentin during this.
Yeah, well, he's from Indiana. He probably knows a thing or two about hunting. But Aura explains to Quentin, he asks, you know, what's the deal with the monster? Like, why does it need to have a keeper, you know, aside from like being shut in here? And Aura explains that the monster needs to be entertained. It needs to be loved like a child. It just has this kind of strange, innocent love that it craves at all times.
She serves, loves, and coddles it.
She coddles it. Yeah. And she says, it gets constantly bored, and the only reason she was able to sneak them in is because they're playing hide and seek, but it's gonna get bored again and it'll need to be entertained soon.
And Alice is watching all this.
She also snorts the fairy cocaine, presumably maybe to actually do the same thing Elliot was gonna do and take out the monster.
Wait a second. So
that's
what
I thought
fairy...
maybe her first plan was, and then she decided to go with her
second one. The fairy dust that Alice had.
She just got it from Zelda.
For a while.
She just got it from Zelda.
Yeah.
What is the potency life of fairy coke?
It doesn't last that long, about a day.
So they had to grind up a fairy.
No.
Less than a day. You do like one spell, basically.
Daddy's asking how long the shelf life is.
What's the shelf life of fairy cocaine?
Obviously long enough that they would have big suitcases full of it.
But they were making those like...
But how long does it take to make fairy cocaine?
You gotta dry them out.
We're not dealers. We don't know.
Blah, blah, blah. But obviously, Aura explains to Quentin that the monster needs constant love. And this is where we see Alice. She does a line, and L is waiting in the back with his gun. And
we see him pull it out.
And we see the monster come in. It's Charlton being possessed.
His eyes glow.
He's got spooky little glowy eyes.
That's when Elliot pulls out the gun.
And he looks at them. Aura and Quentin, he says, will you play with me? And so Quentin starts walking hesitantly towards him, and he starts, you know, shuffling cards to do like a fun little magic trick for the monster.
See, this is
and
why
Elliot
Q
pops
would be
out,
hang
and
on, he, wait, stop. This no, is why Q would be the perfect person
you
to
ruined,
stay with.
You ruined the momentum of me describing the scene.
Because just at that moment, Elliot
no.
pulls out a
no,
gun.
No, wait,
and
stop! Wait, before you kill the monster. This is why Q would be the
don't
perfect...
Don't worry, Q will have plenty of time to play cards with him.
Oh, yeah.
The companion for the monster.
Well,
he
don't
knows
worry, that moment
card
will come.
Tricks.
Don't...
Have we seen
did you
Q
not,
being good
he
with
does
children?
Not remember season 4.
Dad, did, you
no,
do
I don't.
Well, honey, okay. You're in for a whole ride.
Ugh.
So,
but don't you think Q's plan would have been fine?
Well, except that Q ends had up
to be stuck in there
Black
forever.
Spire forever with a
yeah,
monster.
Yeah, but obviously there's like...
How would he eat? How would he sleep?
A, lives in a castle. Not bad. Secondly, what's her name?
You just talked
has
about
lived
how there's
there...
lava and smoke everywhere.
But inside it's probably fine.
There's red lighting. Everything's painted black.
Look
you
at
can barely see.
Look at Darth Vader's castle. It's
Quentin
perfectly
is not
fine
Darth
on the
Vader.
Inside. He could be.
He's
so, he's a very whiny like Anakin.
No, he's
so,
not. In season 1 and 2, maybe.
All right. Anyway, the point is that, what's her face? Aria?
Aura.
The knight. She has been living off of
that,
something, right?
Right?
So maybe there's like a food maker, like some sort of magic food manufacturer, like a table that constantly makes food or
maybe
something.
Maybe just write the fan fiction, Dad.
No, shut up. Hang on, I'm not done yet. Dad. I'm not done conjecturing. This isn't fan fiction. This is just
this
conjecture.
These are facts for your fan
this
fiction.
This is in fact
so,
ideas
so
for your fix. You're getting plot bunnies.
Aura obviously has food coming from somewhere, right? Because she's
maybe
just...
Maybe she just doesn't eat.
Well, maybe she doesn't need to eat because she lives in the castle, right? So Q's plan, perfectly fine. Stay in the castle, do card trick. No, he's living with
a
little kid.
Live by yourself.
It's like living with a kid.
You just have a kid that commits murder.
Brenda, you had children. Okay.
you had kids too.
Yes, what I'm saying is when they were young, you constantly had to pay them attention, right?
It's like a dog.
No, it's worse than a dog. Because
human that's definitely how I felt about our children.
Is sentient, right?
A dog is sentient.
Well, but not at the same level that a human is. So you have to constantly keep...
Can we kill the monster?
No, we cannot kill the monster yet. We're talking about
our
children.
We're killing the monster.
I know our children
the
are
monster,
monsters,
the
but
monster gets
we do
shot
not want to kill
by
them.
By Elliot.
Lots of sparkly dust.
And
it's the same magic that Grape Julia had to deal with.
And the monster basically is just spores, I guess.
No, it's the same magic. It was a consistent god magic. They've used that visual before.
But
when they knifed
his magic
what's
spores.
His face and when they... And when Julia... Julia
possesses Aura.
God powers.
And she disappears.
And Alice runs away, and Aura disappears, and Elliot's like, you know, that monster wasn't that scary.
No, it wasn't.
What's up with that? And he's like, God killing bullet, did it. It's fine, we're done now. Come on.
And they go, where'd she go?
Where'd she go?
They just poked a hole in the guy.
Yep. And
then he was full of bees.
They all are like getting ready to put the keys into the fountain
and
when
look
Alice
out. Here
comes
Alice.
Out and she magics up all the keys into the air and she starts
with her black magic.
Yeah, her black magic and she
of
starts
dead fairies.
She starts to melt them all and
which
they're
is
like
why
Alice, no, you don't have to do this.
Which is why my plan of shooting Alice with the god bullet would have been a perfectly good idea.
You don't need a god bullet, you can just use her regular
just kill her. Just whatever.
Why?
Kill her.
Why do you want to kill Alice?
Why do you
want to
kill her
like
so
Alice.
Bad?
Because her whole arc is over, as you said.
No, season 4, you dumbass. Season 4.
She kind of feels like her arc is over.
No, shut up. Anyway, she starts to melt the keys, and they're like, Alice, no. Why are you doing this? You have to stop. And she says, no, I have to do this. I'll never remember this. It doesn't matter. And Penny 23 tries to travel in to get her, but
she whaps him out. She's whapping everybody.
She punches him. And she's like, I realize there's no good side, just different shades of bad. You know, no one can handle it. And Elliot rightly says, you can't handle it. And she's like, no, it's wrong. We're wrong. No one should have this power. And she destroys the keys.
She destroys all the keys. And everyone stands there looking at it like, oh.
Yeah. And then she kind of hightails it. And Margot pulls out a knife.
Yeah. I was like,
I'm gonna go get her. Then we see Julia and Iris, and they're in Iris's workshop again, her little lab, and Julia senses all of the questers, especially Quentin. She can hear his heart. And she says what she says, and she says, you know, he's not getting up. He'll die not getting up. And, you know, and she's like, can't you feel his heart? And Iris is like, you've got to forget about them. But Julia's already made her decision.
You need to let
she loves
go.
Her best friend so much. Oh, it's so good. And then we see Alice, and she
Alice
comes across Aura, possessed. It's the monster. And the monster says, you know, will you play with me? And she's like, oh, fuck, and turns around the other direction.
And is immediately
grabbed by Margot and Elliot. And Margot says, you think you can cast faster than I can stab? And, you know, Alice insists it was for everyone's good, but Julia appears, and she says, you know, you thought it was for everyone's good, but one day you'll see it wasn't. Just like, ooh, casual fucking burn. And she ties Alice up and, like, pushes her against a pillar. And she comes to Quentin, who is on the ground, and she helps him up. And she says, you know, I want you to know that it was your bravery that made me see what I need to do. Which is just like, they love each other so much. They're best friends.
She's inspired by Keith.
And so she does what Prometheus did, and she makes all of the keys again with her god power.
And she becomes the goddess of hardware stores.
Oh my god.
Because now she's
Elliot
making a key.
And Caesar making the keys and says she's horcrotching.
It would have been So it would have been funnier if, like, then Josh said, oh, hey, I misplaced my key to my apartment. Can you make me a spare,
please?
You are
bad at writing television.
Every key she makes, each one gets more difficult.
Because she's losing her power.
She starts to look like she's burning up as she's making
them. She's burning her hands.
How come that didn't happen to Prometheus?
That's what happened to Prometheus.
He lost all his power.
We saw that. We saw it happen.
Maybe they
should have
just made 5 keys to lock. 7 seems like a lot.
Oh, my God.
Right? Or 3? How many keys do you have to your house?
They get all the keys, and Alice is tied up on a pillar, and Penny 23 helps Julia up, and they all go to the fountain at
the
same time. They stick it
in,
and they turn them all at once.
One brief moment
there's
of
one
hope
brief
and
moment.
Music
they,
and smiles.
They finally succeeded at one fucking thing for once in their goddamn lives. Something hasn't gone bad. There's blue light instead of red. It's water is flowing. The tiki room
magic's
fountain
flowing.
Is going. There's going to
the
be
pineapples?
A pineapple. A pineapple's going to pop out of the top. It's going to be amazing. Some
everybody's
parrots
gonna
are going to appear.
Everybody's
you know?
Going to get Dole Whips.
Everybody's going to sing.
Where's Jose?
We're going to get some Dole Whip. It's going to be great. And then Irene McAllister, the traveler who I always forget the name of, and Dean Pugh.
Here come those son of a bitches.
And they...
And Irene blasts them.
Irene blasts them and force chokes them. And
yep.
She powers the siphon, and the traveler guy puts it on top of the fountain, and they steal magic.
They should have shanked
her ass back
when the queen, fairy queen killed all the others.
They didn't. And so
they blew their chance.
What happened is...
See, this is the problem.
That now
this,
the magic is going to the library.
The
and
Scooby gang, all these problems would be resolved if they just killed their enemies. Right? They should have just...
Be a little violent.
A
little violent. The show is so fucking violent as it is.
You're trying to make
right?
it more.
I'm just trying to solve problems.
Death doesn't solve problems.
Write some fan fiction. but they steal all the magic for the library, and Irene McAllister almost kills everyone.
And then we flash on
the
magic showing
Dean
up the library,
Fogg,
and Zelda just smiles.
She just smiles, a nefarious little smile, and then we see Dean Fogg take out the identity potion.
The little blue
bottle. And then we see, cut forward... And we see
cut
Professor Lipson. She's demonstrating some magic. It's the same one we actually saw at the end of season 2 where magic went away. And so we see her floating some little boxes.
Wait,
and
I have
then
a question.
Magic goes out.
I have a question.
What?
Wouldn't Dean Fogg need a bunch of blue bottles?
No.
Why not?
It's potent enough, apparently.
It's an extract.
Or maybe he had more bottles in his pocket.
He should have had him.
One.
He should have had a whole bag full of bottles.
Double fisting.
That would have been.
Some bottles.
That would have been.
He's
that
a man.
Been,
he doesn't know how to hold more than one thing in his hand.
6 bottles.
Well, yeah, he
at
could
once.
Have. Well, he could have multiple fingers.
He does not.
He's
not the beast.
One in each finger. Well, he is the beast now.
No, he's not.
He's a beast.
No, he's not.
He's a bad guy now.
He's not a bad guy.
He is a bad
he's
guy.
He's morally gray. That's the whole point of the
morally gray.
No.
Oh,
no, if
he was negotiating with
doing
the real bad guys,
what he
which
does,
in this case are the librarians.
That's bad. He did a bad thing.
I think that he was in a bad position and he had to negotiate to try to find the best
to
way to protect the school and to protect the students and to make sure that there was some
the
magic
only way
at least for break
he could
bills.
Make sure they wouldn't get killed by the McAllisters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so apparently magic is now
more
on ration.
Gray.
And
yes, we see her doing that one spell and levitating the squares,
and then it drops.
The dice or whatever until they can't levitate anymore.
And then
yeah.
she says, "I
Brown
need
ale.
More magic."
Well, they don't have enough magic to even assign homework. So Dean Fogg goes to the library.
So the kids should be like, "Yay,
they
no homework!"
But Dean Fogg goes to the library to request more magic rations, and they're like, "Oh, you need all this paperwork to do all the stuff." And he's like, "I've got all the forms in triplicate."
Yeah.
Boom, baby.
At least he's prepared.
And he's like, "Also,
he's very much prepared."
Also, I do want to ask, you know, once again, and Zelda's like, "No." She broke her deal with us, so she's property of the library now.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go see her if you want. And so Dean Fogg goes to see Alice. She belongs to the library now.
Alice, the only one who still knows who she is.
Yes, it's this hell for her. And she sees Dean Fogg.
She's dressed like a librarian.
She sees Dean Fogg. She's in the same outfit she was in. That's why. And she sees Dean Fogg, and
he's
like, your friends are safe. It's all good. The McAllisters can't find her. No, and she's like, no, you idiot. I'm not talking about the McAllisters. That monster, it can jump bodies. It knows they're out there. And he's like, well, presuming this monster exists, like, why are you worried about it?
I don't feel like the dean believes her.
She's like, it's seen them. It knows magic is back, and it's going to do anything to get revenge on them. It knows their
magicians, even if they
don't. Yeah, it knows their magicians, even though they don't, and it'll stop
it. But the monster didn't turn off magic. Why does it care?
But it got shot.
It got shot by them.
But it's a body jumper. It doesn't. It shouldn't care about the body.
We've also heard that it gets obsessed with people. And it fixates on people, and we know that it saw all of them.
And it saw Quentin. And Quentin was entertaining it for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, and that was enough time for it to fixate on Quentin.
To bond.
Yeah, it imprinted. but then we see another beautiful fucking scene. And we hear one way or another, beautiful song, and we see Margot. She's now Janet Puchinsky.
Beautiful song. It's about a serial killer.
That's why it's beautiful. It's fitting for the scene.
It fits
for the scene. We see Janet Puchinsky, aka Margot. We see Isaac.
Yes. Wait. Let's stop. Name, that's cool. AKA Janet, Josh. Right?
Yes. Dad.
Finally a nod.
Well, no, they had a nod earlier where they said that
there's lots of nods.
There was another Janet. This is a very reference.
Specific. This one. Is a specific nod. We see Kimber D'Antoni, Julia. She's now
a design person. Josh
is an Uber driver.
Margo's driver.
He's an Uber driver.
Was he Uber?
He's an Uber driver.
He's an Uber driver.
Right. Janet works at a magazine.
They don't say any of this yet.
It's in season four.
You're jumping ahead.
Because we've seen season four.
Janet is fancy schmancy. Josh is an Uber driver.
Josh has a big dick now.
Katie is a drug dealer.
Katie's not a drug dealer. She's
Katie,
a cop.
Don't spoil it.
She's a cop.
No, she's a drug dealer.
She's a cop.
She's a drug dealer.
Which is worse than a drug dealer.
She's a drug dealer. Then we see
Penny is a DJ. DJ Hanson.
He's living the life.
And then we see
best character. Then we see Quentin. Brian. It is such a fucking shame we never get to see Elliot's secret identity, because his character, Nigel, was the bastard son of a British lord and a, like, rocker. That is the best fucking backstory. He gets the coolest backstory out of everyone. We never get to see it. Such a shame.
Quentin just looks like so settled in.
He looks like a little English professor. He's a little English professor.
He's wearing a little vest and he's carrying all these books.
He's a college professor.
And he's in a
bookstore
with books to the ceiling.
It's so sweet. And he comes out of the bookstore and he's got a little coffee. Yes. And for a second, we think, oh my God, it's Elliot. And he goes, Quentin, I found you. And you're like, oh my God, they found each other. It's great. But then he's like, can you do a card trick for me? Will you play with me? And you're like, oh fuck.
And then his eyes glow.
Well, that's, so then, you know, Brian Q is like, sorry, my name's not Quentin, I'm Brian, and he, like, walks away, and the monster just casually walks after him while the music plays, and
struts.
You see his posture start to change, and this, I wish the monster had this sense of fashion in season four, but alas, and he, once again stops Brian, and he's like, hey, you know, would you play with me? I'm so glad I found you. We're going to have so much fun smiting my enemies together. Yes. It's going to be so great. And you know what they say, it's always more fun to do things with a friend. And his eyes flash red, and he goes to grab Quentin. And that's where the episode
ends. With Quentin kind of shying away from him.
Yes, it's,
and then it just
so
goes
great.
Black.
And it is the best cliffhanger.
It is a big cliffhanger.
It is such a big, sexy cliffhanger. I love it so much.
And it's heartbreaking and sad.
And that is the end of season three of The Magicians.
Woo! We made it to the end of season three.
End of season three. Two more.
I'm numb.
Two more.
Did the monster kill you?
Did the monster kill you? Not yet.
Well, I have to tell you what I rated it.
Okay, well, who wants to go first?
What did
you
rate it?
You want to go first, Dad? How would you rate this episode?
Like a 4.5.
Broke a key in half?
It had the cool animation.
Yeah.
And it resolved. No, it didn't resolve. Last week's was better when it came to resolutions. This was just a bunch of downers.
This is the resolution of the entire book.
No, the way that they...
The whole quest.
No. Stop. The way that they do this show is that episode 12 ends on, like, kind of a good note. And then episode 13 fucks it all up. This is the third time they've done. This is their formula.
Not in season 4.
Well, whatever. All right. But the point is that it's like, it's a downer. It's all this, all everybody's bad. Everybody's messed up. Everybody's, you know, they got the big whoop. The magic's back on. But the bad guys have their balls on it. And, like, so now they're controlling it, right? It's a fucking mess. That's not how I would have written it. I like the Buffy formula, which was they had no clue whether they were going to get renewed from season to season, so they, like, wrapped everything up by the end of the season. I mean, sure, it's a great cliffhanger. Elliot is possessed by a demon or whatever. But I feel bad now for Elliot, because Elliot was like one of the best characters, and now he's ruined, and I know he's going to be ruined for the entire semester next time.
Semester?
Whatever, season next time.
Hey, Mom, what'd you think?
So, am I looking forward to season 4 now?
The first half
No, I'm not, because it's a downer. It's already a downer, and it's just going in to be more downers.
First half's good.
And I want to see fucking...
That's a really good heist episode.
What's her name? Irene ground up into fairy powder herself.
She doesn't really show up anymore.
Yeah, which is fucked up too, right? She should... This show has no sense of justice.
I mean, Frey doesn't show up, like, after this season. Either.
Well, Frey, her arc's done.
But daughter, bonding moments.
She's off stooping a bear.
That's true.
Anyways.
All right, what do you...
What do you think, Mom? How would you rate this episode?
I think it's a 7.
Seven?
I think there's a lot going on. I think at the beginning, you've got that beautiful animatic,
the animation
of the... comic book, the book is not a comic book, but the animation of the story that they're telling, it's very gorgeous. It has the voiceover of Q telling the story, which I like, and it calls back to what was so fun about the beginning of this adventure with a book, that magical book that fills in as you fulfill the quests, which is pretty cool, and calls back to other fantasy stories like that. You've got major movements of character. You've got Julia becoming a goddess. You've got Alice going, I'm done with this life, and changing my mind and going off. You've got them flying in the Muntjac. It's great to see the Muntjac again. And, you know, they're all having tacos and celebrating that they're off on a quest, even though they don't know what's going to happen. And then they succeed and magic gets turned on. And then it goes horribly awry and leaves you just wondering what the heck is going to happen in the new season when you've not seen it. So it leaves you wanting more to the story to find out what happens to our heroes. It's heartbreaking that it's Elliot that gets possessed by the monster, and it just makes it that much more painful when he goes seeking Q, because it's not really Elliot and Q. It's the monster and Q, except it's the monster and Brian.
Bry guy.
What?
You gonna ask me?
Oh, yeah. I already know what you're gonna say. You're gonna be like, it's a 7. It's the best episode. It's an 8. It's my favorite episode.
I give this episode a 14 out of 7 keys. This is my favorite episode of The Magicians. I say
Why?
That unironically.
It's so sad.
I love it so much. It is so tasty. I love the fucking drama of it all. I love the fact that Alice betrays everyone. I think that is so rich and beautiful for, like, her character and kind of the culmination of that. I love the cute moments. I love the animation. I love me some Jalf voiceover. Quentin is at the cutest he's ever been in that opening scene. I love the subtext between Elliot and Quentin in this episode, because they are so divorced. And they clearly love each other. They've been having problems. They are having this weird relationship where they don't know what to to talk about the fact that they kind of broke it off and stuff. And it finally culminates all this stuff of, like, you know, Elliot kind of giving Quentin mixed signals and pushing him away, and now Quentin has decided to go, oh, extreme push away, I'm gonna imprison myself. And then Elliot's like, wait, no! So then we have that whole thing, we have Julia and Quentin's friendship, we have Alice and Quentin's relationship, which is complicated and beautiful, and they love each other so much, and it's just so good and fun. We get to see the Fairy Queen, even though she dies, she still dies in a way that is, like, noble. We get that beautiful scene where they go to Black Spire, and I love that bit. It's so moody and dramatic, and I love the betrayal of it all, and the fact that Elliot shoots the monster, and then at the end when everyone it's has shocking. Their new identities, and it's just this huge cliffhanger, and you don't know what's gonna happen, and you're like, oh shit, Elliot got possessed? Oh no! It's just so good, and I love the music in this episode. It's just so good. It's my favorite.
And the first time around, I can talk about it forever. You have no idea what's going to happen because it's so far away from the books.
Yeah, like,
there's none of this is in the book. There is a quest for magic, but it's nothing at all like this. So it really is a cliffhanger.
It's just so good, and I'm so glad I wasn't watching it when it came out because I would have died if I had to wait.
Well, you're going to have to wait anyway.
Yes, because we are going to take a break after the next episode, The Magician's Land, is released. We are going to come back on July 2nd because it is the summertime.
And we need a break. I need a break.
We need a break. So we will be back with episode 1 of season 4, which I believe is found. No, that's the second episode. I don't remember what the first episode name is, actually, but I do remember the second one. The second one is called Lost, Found, Fucked. Okay, but episode of season 4, everyone's got a new identity. It's going to be great.
Even new actors.
There's even new actors. It's
going
to be wonderful. We're going to see the monster not in Garfield shirts killing people, and it's going to be great. So look out for that.
All right. Well, what else is going on in the world of fandom?
So close. At the end of July, there is going to be the Philanthropy Bitches Covenant House Drive, which will, again, be, there will be a fan book, there will be pins, there will be a Memory Bear auction with fabric from the show.
You know what I saw the other day?
Towards Covenant House, which is a charity for unhoused youth.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that is happening at the end of July. There is also now the Magician's Kink Meme Round 2 is happening, which is exactly what it sounds like. Both my parents are here, so I will not go into detail. But you get the idea, guys.
Hey, speaking of teddy bears, you know what I saw the other day on the internet?
What?
I saw a teddy bear.
A
photo of a teddy bear made completely out of...
What?
Chicken. It was the most disgusting thing I've
ever
seen.
Why are you bringing this up? Why is this important?
Because you were talking about teddy bears made out of other materials. So it reminded me of this chicken bear that I saw.
Anyway, those are the things that are happening. There's also the Magician's Big Bang, which is still going to happen. We don't have any emails this week, sadly.
We have no emails, not even from fake people.
Not even from Ellen over and over again. It's very sad. You missed your window, guys.
You could have had Evelyn.
You can send us emails on fillerianfather@gmail.com, or you can send us a message at fillerianfather on Twitter or fillerianfather on TikTok. Those are the places you can reach us collectively. Where can people find you, Mom?
At BardSwan on Twitter. There you go.
That's it. And where can people find you, Dad?
Well, you know.
Around.
I mean, mostly I'm unfindable because I'm not surveying in the mountains.
That's true.
You are hard to reach. Busy digging up things.
You can find me at the usual places, mightybedbug.com. You can find me at Twitter and Instagram, mightybedbug. Just leave it at that. That's fine. And LinkedIn. If you want to check out my amazing resume. And then where can we find you, Evelyn?
You can find me at wow_then on Twitter and at fishydwarrows on Instagram. and on Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers. I also have a website. It's www.evelynleerogers.com. It's my name. Commission me, please.
Did you talk about sending... You did talk about filler and father email.
Send us emails, please.
Right.
Email. We'll read them.
We'll read them. We'll still don't have enough votes for fan fiction.
No, please spam us. But, like, don't. But, like, spam us. But, like, don't. But, like, if they were from different people, that would be great. Not just you, Ellen. Sorry. And you know what? Maybe I will make a t-shirt. I've been thinking about
it. Yeah, t-shirt's a great idea.
But you'll hear us next time on The Magician's Land. And then for season 4, episode 1 on July 2nd.
Yes, July 2nd. So have a great break.
Yeah, great break. Thank you for listening.
Hooray! We did it! Yay!